Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Chicago drummer and composer Kabir Dalawari. We talked to him at length about his debut CD with his quartet called Awareness. It's full of original compositions and an extraordinary lineup of cats. He opened up about this new venture, COVID life, his family, life in jazz, and the future. Enjoy.
Thanks for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. How's Chicago look today?
It's not as bad. The past 2 days were a bit of a snowstorm, but today isn't too bad, so...
I appreciate you taking a minute out, and I wanted to talk about your debut with your quartet called Awareness. And, you know, it's coming out during this time of COVID and uncertainty and all of this. So does it feel refreshing to have this release out? How do you feel kind of holistically about this new album and this debut?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful for it all finally coming together. And I think, like a lot of other artists, well, obviously the pandemic has been very difficult, both, you know, obviously physically for the health reasons for people that have dealt with it, and emotionally for people not being able to see each other and whatnot. But outside of that, I think a lot of artists, maybe like myself, had some time to really, you know, write some new music and really, you know, kind of reevaluate where they are as an artist, right? So I think for me personally, the pandemic kind of aided me in finally finishing this music for this album, right, and putting together dates to get it all recorded with a brighter future, right? So now that things are a little more normalized, obviously, you know, gigs are back and everything, I'm very, very excited for it to finally release. And, you know, when I was first putting it together, my biggest hope was, you know, when we have this release concert and everything, that everything can be hopefully in person, right, and not the whole live stream thing. Not that that was bad. I play a few live stream concerts, but honestly, there's nothing as satisfying as having actual listeners surrounding you when you do this kind of album release show. So I'm so excited for it, and hopefully as things get better, this timing was appropriate. I think it is. I think we're on the right track, so I'm really excited.
So as your debut, I mean, this is a pretty big calling card. What are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
That's a great question. I mean, for me personally, I just want to reach as many ears as possible. With a debut, it's my first chance of my music, you know, leaving my direct circle in Chicago. And I've been born and raised here. All my musical endeavors have been here. I studied music in college here. All the people I play with are Chicago-based for the most part. So my biggest, you know, hope for this really is just, wow, now people in other states, other countries, even if, you know, even if I can't play there yet or I'm not playing there yet, they have an opportunity of hearing my sound, right? And getting a unbiased opinion from someone who has never heard of me, who has no preconception of who I am as an artist or as a person, can give me authentic feedback or share authentic feedback of music, right? So, you know, my biggest goal is just letting some new listeners, hopefully giving them this new piece of music that they can enjoy and share with people they love, and so on and so forth, you know.
So let's get to your roots, how all of this began for you. Talk to me about growing up in Chicago and, you know, some of your influences and how you really got into this path to being a jazz drummer.
As most people do, I started in grade school and the concert bands and the marching bands and whatnot. I didn't get too serious about it, honestly, till a little later. So, you know, I would do it in elementary, middle school, high school, as kind of an extracurricular. And I was actually very academically focused at this point, having a bit of a goal of, you know, becoming a doctor. So I was on the pre-med track and everything. I think it was my junior year in high school. I was in the jazz band in high school. I didn't get super serious about it yet, but, you know, I still was in the jazz band. My junior year in high school, we went to this competition called the New Trier Jazz Festival. At that point, I think I was more so playing the music for the social aspect of it. You know, I made a lot of my closest friends through both marching band and jazz band. But I hadn't really dug too deep into, like, the history of it, and I hadn't really found artists that really spoke to me quite yet. So I was right in that phase where I was budding out of as like you know, a new bud, a flower, maybe. I was open to, you know, finding these new artists. So yeah, we went to this New Jersey Jazz Fest, and the guest clinician and artist was Nate Smith, who's an absolutely fantastic drummer. And I remember after hearing him play, that hour after hearing that set, I just like got home and sat down and kept replaying that concert in my head all night. And it was just like, what just happened? How did he do that? How, that was so beautiful. You know, I'd never seen communication as a musician like that before, between him and his band members. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I want to see what happens if I take this a little bit more seriously. So then my senior year, I started actually practicing quite a bit, started searching out for a private teacher and whatnot. And then my senior year at New Trier, a similar experience happened, but it was with Chicago's very own Dana Hall, who is my current mentor right now, actually. I study with him at DePaul University as a graduate student, doing my master's in jazz. And his influence on me was his ability to communicate this music both as a performer, but also verbally. You know, his ability to know this history so well behind this music and be able to communicate so verbally just inspired me so much. And I was like, I just want to learn everything it is about this music. So then went to undergrad at Loyola University here in Chicago. And at that point, you know, as I said, I was getting serious, but I wasn't extremely confident in myself quite yet. So I did start as a pre-med major at Loyola. And I did that for about 2 years while I was taking private lessons and going to every jam session I can while you're under 21, meeting as many people as I can, talking to as many people as I can. And then my third year at Loyola is when I made that big jump. And I was like, all right, I'm doing pretty well managing this other major and getting better as a musician. What if I put all my focus and all my energy just in the music? What can happen? And at that moment, I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my master's in music. I'm going to start writing music. So then I started writing this album actually my junior year at Loyola, and finished it right during the pandemic as I graduated. So that's kind of a bit about the upbringing, about that. I think I'd be happy to talk more about that in terms of specific songs, but some of the songs are a bit inspired by, you know, like my medical background and as a pre-med student, and also my journey finding myself and making that, you know, leap into, okay, I'm going to drop the uncertainties, drop the insecurities, and try being a musician. So.
Well, I guess my question would be, who are some major jazz musicians that influenced the way that you would play and find your own voice?
Yeah, so besides those two I named, those are my starting gateway to it. I think right now my top three influences as a jazz drummer are Elvin Jones, Roy Haynes, and Eric Harlan. All of them have such an incredible finesse and mobility around the kit to express all these ideas that they want. And I try to absorb as much of that as I can every single day, listening to their music. Yeah, those are three big influences on me right now that I'm studying quite a bit.
So what do you like best about being a professional musician? What do you look forward to the most every day?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the moments in between big projects. So actually, you know, right now is one of those moments that all we're doing is prepping for my album, you know, with rehearsals and promotion and all that kind of stuff. And this has been going on since the writing of the album, recording the album. You know, it's been a big project for a little over a year now. What I look forward to most, though, is when that project is actually complete and it exists, right? Because I feel like as artists, you can get so caught up in what's next, what can I do to get better, what can I do to get better? And I'm guilty of this, too. That we don't ever actually let our baby, for lack of a better term, something you build, actually sit and marinate, and you don't get a chance to actually enjoy the fruits of our work, right? So for me, like for example, like my debut gig as a band leader a few years ago, I was extremely stressed about that. And obviously I was working my butt off and I was like, it's going to be such an important moment. It's such a big moment for me. I put all this pressure on myself, right? And then after it happened, I realized that it was just a very, very small moment, actually, in my rest of my life. And that sense of, you know, minor success and that gratification after that was really what inspired me to, you know, keep going and keep doing these small milestones into leading into a big milestone like my album and hopefully many other big milestones afterwards. But I think for me specifically, it's when you work so, so hard and you put this pressure on yourself to be the best version of you can be for the specific moment. And then after that moment, you can be like, nice, I did it, right? And you can take that deep breath and feel successful, right?
So. Well, you know, I guess the one thing I want to kind of cover a little bit because of this COVID and it's a debut album, you know, everyone had a chance to be self-reflective and learn something about themselves. What did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as we hopefully reemerge more to live music and you promote this debut album?
I think what made me stronger was really getting a chance to connect with my family a lot more than I was those past few years. Because, you know, as an independent musician, when we're hustling, we almost spend 24 hours on the clock, right? You know, if you're a student, you'll be going to school, and then you'll be practicing your 4 hours or so, and then you'll either have a gig, you'll go watch a gig, you'll go to a jam session. Next thing you know, it's like 1 a.m, and you're going to do it again the next day, right? And if you're not a student, that student part would either be, you know, filled with other rehearsals or teaching, etc. So it's just like we're always moving and moving and moving and moving. And with the pandemic, I got to spend an extended period of time with my parents back at home. And I think that was one of the biggest things that, one of the biggest things that I'm grateful for that came out of this, because looking back, that was something I really, really needed, that I didn't realize it. And I don't know if I would have gotten an opportunity like that if there wasn't a pandemic. Not that I'm saying I'm glad there's a pandemic or anything like that, but I think you know what I mean. And I think getting to reconnect with that family just really strengthened me internally and helped give me confidence to keep pushing, because just being able to talk to them about everything I do all the time and hearing their thoughts about it and, you know, their support and everything, just... It was unbelievable. It was so nice. And I've never experienced something like that with my family before, because both of my parents also are extremely busy and always hustling in their own respective fields. And that's the mentality I've been raised with, both academically and which translated to me as an artist, that we're always just so, you know, excited and worried about being the best version of ourselves that we never really had an opportunity for that, like an extended period like that, to actually hang out in the family, except, you know, when I was like probably a child, right? Like, so, you know, high school and beyond, it's always been like that. I think for me, that was the biggest thing that really helped reinforce my goals as an artist, just being able to reconnect my family like that.
You know, so everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Wow, you have some really good questions. I think, you know, I think I'm Kabir Dalwari. Obviously, that's my name, right? But I think I am a unique voice in this oversaturated world, right? There are so many people out there, and like you said, you know, everyone has an opinion of you, your friends, your family, your colleagues, both lots of positive and probably lots of negative opinions too. To me, I am always just trying to be the best version of myself, and I think I'm doing a good job, you know. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of where I come from. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my family. I'm extremely proud of my art. everyone else's opinion is secondary. If I am extremely happy with my art or where I am as a person, that is the most important thing. I always prioritize my own mental and physical health over any external information that could influence that in a negative way. You know, to me right now, I am very happy and very proud to be releasing this music, and I wouldn't release it, you know, if I wasn't fully invested and 100% proud of what is, you know. That's the kind of standard I hold myself to. I'm hardworking, I'm dedicated, and I always hold myself to an extremely high standard. So that way, you know, I can be happy and proud of everything when it's released.
Beautiful, man. That's a great answer. Hey, thank you for opening up. Thanks for talking about the album and your life and music, man. Good luck with everything.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Kabir for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.